We want to go now to Cork to Jim Wilson, who's on a mission to find out more about a new seaweed that has washed up on our shores.
Well, Derek, I'm here in Ballintubrid on the north shore of Cork Harbour, and I've just come out from Cove and I passed these huge expanses of Spartina cord grass. And it looks like it's natural, but it was actually introduced to Cork Harbour deliberately in the 1920s as part of an experiment by UCC to create new land cheaply and easily. The experiment failed, but we still have vast areas of the cord grass covering what were once mudflats on which lots of birds and other creatures would have lived. And the reason I've come to Ballintubrid is I've been noticing a seaweed that started to appear on the mudflat. I've been doing the harbour counts for years and years, and in recent years I've noticed these patches of seaweed out on the mud, which I thought was unusual. And then I came across a paper by my good friend Pat Smiddy, and it was talking about this new seaweed that has arrived on our shores, and it's come from Northern Asia. And I thought, listen, I'll just contact Pat and find out more about this new arrival. Pat, thanks for joining me this morning. Beautiful morning here in Cork Harbour.
Beautiful, yeah.
We're down on the mud. We've gone past all the stones and shingle, and we're just into the muddy patch. Is this the new seaweed?
It is. Yes, this is it. You can see the common wrack.
Yeah.
You know, which is everywhere on every shore.
Yes.
But this, it looks.
Look at
it's
it.
Very. It's kind of filamentous type of stuff.
It looks like wire.
You can actually pick it up as I am doing now.
Yes.
It does attach itself to the substrate, you know, where there are stones and shells, so it can also grow unattached, you know, not attached to any substrate at all, and it'll move around with the tide, you know, up and down the shore and in and out.
Wow. And it, oh, I've noticed as well,
yeah,
it's not just a single layer.
No,
it's many layers thick.
Yeah, the densest populations of it would be in the middle of the summer.
Right.
You know, it is one of these plants that bloom and grows very profusely in the summer and then dies back.
Like a lot of seaweeds.
Like a lot of seaweeds. Like the green algae that you see growing on mudflats as well.
Yes, which of course has been mentioned on the programme over the years. I think often associated with increased nutrient in the water.
Yes,
such as
runoff
or human organic pollution.
Yeah. And I'm sure nutrients will affect this as well. You know, if you have a rich supply of nutrients, then you will have a richer crop of this particular plant. But it's in Ireland. Nobody knows precisely when, but it's here certainly for 20 or so years. But it's only come to the fore, really, to be noticed and to be researched in the 2010s, you know, and say in the last 10 years or so.
Oh, so not long, really.
No, not that long.
Okay.
Some work has been done on it in Clonakilty, which has a very, very rich population of it.
Mm-hmm.
Remote sensing using satellite imagery has been done by University College Galway. They can identify the extent of it from the images,
mm-hmm.
and they can also identify this particular plant, the invasive seaweed, by the way, which is called Agrophyton vermiculophyllum.
Oh, I'll remember that.
A rather long name for quite a
yes.
small plant.
Yes, yes.
But that's what it's called. And the remote sensing can identify this plant, the Agrophyton, from the green algae.
Okay.
So they can see the extent of the.
So they don't have to go out.
They don't
and
have
examine
to go out in waders and Wellingtons
like we are
now today. They can just look at it on the satellite images and they can tell how extensive it is.
Right.
And they can tell the species as well.
Right. And I think I remember from reading your paper in the Irish Naturalist Journal that it was considered a red seaweed.
Yes.
And to me that looks a little more like our own brown.
It is more like a brown seaweed, yes. It's native to Asia, Japan, the Sea of Japan area. That's where it came from first. That's where its native range is.
Yes.
But it has been spreading for a long time because obviously people are moving around on ships and
uh-huh,
so on.
Uh-huh.
And product is being moved from place to place, and it was introduced by means like that into North America.
All right,
way
okay.
back nearly 100 years ago, and it's on both coasts. It's both on the East Coast, very widespread, on both the East Coast and the West Coast of North America now. Wow. But it's in Europe relatively more recently.
Okay.
I don't know precisely how long it is here, but it's been noticed in Ireland. I think the first documentation of it from Ireland is around about 2010 or thereabouts. Again, there's an imprecision about the exact date, but it's certainly here for that long. First, it was noticed in, I think it was Carlingford Lough and Dundrum Bay in County Down.
Okay.
And Carlingford and the border between Louth and County Down.
Yes.
And apparently how it came in was with shellfish farming activity.
Oh, really?
Yes. Yes.
Is this shellfish that was being imported from?
Yes, correct.
From that part of Asia?
Yes. Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
I suppose it's very hard to bring in something like a shellfish, keep it alive, but not have all the other bits and pieces that are stuck to it.
But you see, given that it's in Europe already, you know, therefore it may not have come directly from Japan to Ireland. How it came into Europe was from transport from Japan initially, and then it's being moved around within Europe and within Britain and within Ireland, and it's quite widespread now.
Yeah, we often hear of... things like this being moved around our oceans and into our estuaries by ships with ballast. Isn't that where they take on seawater into the ship?
Yeah.
At where their port where they're leaving.
Yeah.
And then when they get here, they often dump all that.
Yes.
And of course, you're getting all the...
That introduces lots of marine organisms then, including with the potential for seaweeds as well,
because we've had things like, haven't we, shellfish have come in, these midden crabs things like that.
Yeah, there are many species.
That are here now.
Yeah.
So how does it spread? What's the mechanism of the plant spreading?
It spreads by spores. It produces spores. And as I said, it's most prolific in the summer when the weather is warm. And you'll get very, very large growths of it. And you know, look across a mudflat. I've looked across mudflats now in Yall Harbour, for example, and in Dungarvan. Cork McSherry Bay has an extremely big population of it, as does Clonakilty. And I surveyed those sites, basically a visual survey, just visiting each site and looking and roughly estimating the extent of it. I did no more scientific work than that. It was just really to look at where it was, how much of it what there was. And I checked all of the estuaries in Cork and Waterford, right from Roaring Water Bay down to Waterford Harbour. And I found it on almost every site that I looked at.
Wow.
And so particularly the big estuaries like Cork Harbour has very big populations of it. Ballycotton now, which is quite a small place and a small estuarine area, doesn't appear to have it. But that may be only just for a while. It may get there eventually. And there are one or two other small places as well where I haven't found it. But in the bigger estuaries, like Roaring Water Bay, indeed, the Island River, that has plenty of it. And Clon has plenty of it. And Cork Mac has plenty of it. Cork Harbour has lots of it. Ballymacody, Yall Harbour, Dungarvan, Tramore,
there's a reasonable chance any suitable habitat around our coast probably
will
has
be.
It, or it will be coming to an estuary near you.
Exactly. It's either there already in small quantity and people don't notice it, or it will be there in the future.
I know with some seaweeds, they can propagate by just little bits of it during storms.
It and can do
get,
that too,
they get
yes.
broken up and yes. then they float away and settle.
Yes.
Can this one do this?
It can, yes.
Oh,
goodness. The natural reproduction method is to produce spores.
Yeah.
But yes, indeed, fragments will grow as well. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
And I've noticed it at Harper's Island wetlands, which our listeners will be familiar with, not too far from here, further up along the north shore of the harbour. It seems to be starting like little pancakes of dark matter, and that is the seaweed, I think, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
And it's out literally on the middle of the shiny, smooth, grey mud.
Yeah.
It's not near where there's rocks necessarily, and it seems to be creating like a little mound there.
Yep.
Is that how it's establishing itself
on
the open mud?
I think so, yes. If... where we're standing here now, you can look out there 10 metres ahead of us. There's, yes, there's a little patch.
Right. So I always remember a good friend of mine and super botanist, Tony O'Mahony.
Yeah.
He used this term to describe a land plant, winter heliotrope.
Oh, yes.
And he described it as a super weed.
Yeah.
This seems like the marine version of that, that it's got so many ways of spreading.
It has, yeah.
That, yep, literally, as I think you've mentioned already, there's no hope of stopping it. It's just...
It's very unlikely that you could stop it, yes.
Okay.
It's one of those things that once it's here, it's here.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
there, you just have to live with it or, yeah, you know, manage around it.
And that, probably almost impossible to manage around.
It is, yes. Because, like, you obviously you could rake it up and take it away, but
yeah,
what? But like, you're leaving behind fragments, so therefore it's going to repopulate.
And I'm looking at even, yeah, this little part of the shore here at Ballintubrid,
yeah,
and it's everywhere. Like, I mean,
it is,
you
yeah,
just have no hope. So, the future.
Yeah, well,
what's your
the future?
You get out your crystal ball there and give us your take on where you think this might go or how it might affect our own native marine life and birds and,
yeah,
and everything else.
Yeah, I suppose birds, because we're ornithologists and that's,
yes,
what we're interested in. But we're interested in the wider environment too, and we should be. I've looked at literature insofar as I can, you know, I've trawled the internet for papers on this, and also looked at to seek out papers that might give some indications of what impact it has on the estuaries and on the birds that use the estuaries.
Yeah.
And really, there's very little information available. I've come across a few papers from America where they did look at how it impacted on the birds. And, you know, you come away with the feeling that maybe it does impact upon them, but maybe it doesn't.
Yeah. All right. Well, listen, thanks a million, Pat, for coming down. The wind is just getting up a little bit there now. I can see a shower on the way. So we'll leave it at that. And hopefully we've raised a bit of awareness amongst the general public and our listeners. And we'll just see how it goes. And hopefully it won't have too much of a detrimental effect on our wildlife. Thanks again, Pat.
Thank you very much indeed, Jim Wilson and Pat Smitty. More details, as always, on the website, rte.ie/Mooney. Jim and Pat, we're in Cork.